of holiness, our hearts respond in love, singing songs and hymns, declaring our God reigns. In the beauty of holiness, we bow before your glory to your name.
Today's healing message topic is the beauty of holiness. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. From the Bible, 1 Chronicles. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Luke. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Psalms. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Zechariah. How great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Revelation. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Christians rejoice in secret beauty and bounty, hidden from the world but known to God. Self-forgetfulness, purity, and affection are constant prayers. Practice, not profession, understanding, not belief, gain the ear and right hand of omnipotence, and they assuredly call down infinite blessings. The same power which heals sin heals also sickness. This is the beauty of holiness, that when truth heals the sick, it casts out evils. And when truth casts out the evil called disease, it heals the sick. When Christ cast out the devil of dumbness, it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. There is today danger of repeating the offense of the Jews by limiting the Holy One of Israel and asking, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? What cannot God do? It is ignorance and false belief based on a material sense of things which hides spiritual beauty and goodness. Understanding this, Paul said, neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. This is the doctrine of Christian Science, that divine love cannot be deprived of its manifestation or object, that joy cannot be turned into sorrow, for sorrow is not the master of joy, that good can never produce evil, that matter can never produce mind, nor life result in death. The perfect man, governed by God, his perfect principle, is sinless and eternal. Harmony is produced by its principle, is controlled by it, and abides with it. Divine principle is the life of man. Man's happiness is not, therefore, at the disposal of physical sense. Truth is not contaminated by error. Harmony in man is as beautiful as in music, and discord is unnatural, unreal. The sinless joy, the perfect harmony and immortality of life, possessing unlimited divine beauty and goodness without a single bodily pleasure or pain, constitutes the only veritable, indestructible man whose being is spiritual. The Chaldean wise men read in the stars the fate of empires and the fortunes of men. Though no higher revelation than the horoscope was to them displayed upon the Empyrean, earth and heaven were bright, and bird and blossom were glad in God's perennial and happy sunshine, golden with truth. So we have goodness and beauty to gladden the heart. But man, left to the hypotheses of material sense, unexplained by science, is as the wandering comet or the desolate star, a weary searcher for a viewless home. Immortal and divine mind presents the idea of God, first in light, second in reflection, third, in spiritual and immortal forms of beauty and goodness. Mind is not necessarily dependent upon educational processes. It possesses of itself all beauty and poetry and the power of expressing them. Spirit, God, is heard when the senses are silent. We are all capable of more than we do. The influence and action of soul confers a freedom, which explains the phenomena of improvisation and the further of untutored lips. The measurement of life by solar years robs youth and gives ugliness to age. The radiant sun of virtue and truth coexists with being. Manhood is its eternal noon, undimmed by a declining sun. As the physical and material, the transient sense of beauty fades, the radiance of spirit should dawn upon the enraptured sense with bright and imperishable glories. Chronological data are no part of the vast forever. Timetables of birth and death are so many conspiracies against manhood and womanhood. Man, governed by immortal mind, is always beautiful and grand. What an abuse of natural beauty to say that a rose, the smile of God, can produce suffering. The joy of its presence, its beauty and fragrance, should uplift the thought and dissuade any sense of fear or fever. It is profane to fancy that the perfume of clover and the breath of new-mown hay can cause glandular inflammation, sneezing, and nasal pangs. Where ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise, says the English poet, and there is truth in his sentiment. The action of mortal mind on the body was not so injurious before inquisitive modern Eves took up the study of medical works, and unmanly Adams attributed their own downfall and the fate of their offspring to the weakness of their wives. When the mechanism of the human mind gives place to the divine mind, selfishness and sin, disease and death will lose their foothold. Beauty, as well as truth, is eternal. But the beauty of material things passes away, fading and fleeting as mortal belief. Immortality, exempt from age or decay, has a glory of its own, the radiance of soul. Immortal men and women are models of spiritual sense, drawn by perfect mind, and reflecting those higher conceptions of loveliness, which transcend all material sense. Comeliness and grace are independent of matter. Being possesses its qualities before they are perceived humanly. Beauty is a thing of life, which dwells forever in the eternal mind and reflects the charms of His goodness in expression, form, outline, and color. It is love which paints the petal with myriad hues, glances in the warm sunbeam, arches the cloud with the bow of beauty, blazons the night with starry gems, and covers earth with loveliness. The embellishments of the person are poor substitutes for the charms of being, shining resplendent and eternal over age and decay. The recipe for beauty is to have less illusion and more soul, to retreat from the belief of pain or pleasure in the body into the unchanging calm and glorious freedom of spiritual harmony. God fashions all things after His own likeness. Life is reflected in existence, truth in truthfulness, God in goodness, which impart their own peace and permanence. Love, redolent with unselfishness, bathes all in beauty and light. The grass beneath our feet silently exclaims, "The meek shall inherit the earth." Man, made in His likeness, possesses and reflects God's dominion over all the earth. Man and woman, as coexistent and eternal with God, forever reflecting glorified quality, the infinite Father, Mother, God. When the publican's wail went out to the great heart of love, it won his humble desire. When needed, tell the truth concerning the lie. Evasion of truth cripples integrity and casts thee down from the pinnacle. The revelator also takes in another view, adapted to console the weary pilgrim journeying uphill all the way. He writes in Revelation 21, verse 9, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." this ministry of truth, this message from divine love carried John away in spirit. It exalted him till he became conscious of the spiritual facts of being and the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. The spiritual outpouring of bliss and glory, which he describes as the city which lieth four square. The beauty of this text is that the sum total of human misery represented by the seven angelic vials full of seven plagues has full compensation in the law of love. Think of this, dear reader, for it will lift the sackcloth from your eyes, and you will behold the soft-winged dove descending upon you. The very circumstance which your suffering sense deems wrathful and afflictive, love can make an angel entertained unawares. Then thought gently whispers, come hither. Arise from your false consciousness into the true sense of love, and behold the Lamb's wife. Love wedded to its own spiritual idea. This concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting. Now, we'll begin the meditation and prayer portion of the meeting by listening to a song titled, In This Very Room. Together for a few moments, then join in praying aloud the Lord's Prayer. This will be followed by a musical arrangement of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
for God.